I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
No, I mean, I love him.
Sports Radio WEEI.
Victor from Fall River, he's got a new nickname for you.
Come on, Coyne.
He's no longer Valencia Red Scott.
Yep.
It's Barcelona Blue Chew.
I'm back, baby!
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night to open the season.
Nothing for you!
It's time for Cordishi and Coyne.
And the Emmy goes to...
Here's your host, Scott Cordishi and Nick Coyne.
I know my personality's dead, but yeah.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Cordishi and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI. Yes, that music, Curly Neal. God rest his soul. He entertained a lot of people, including me, Mr. Coit. He was probably one of the most, if not the most, Harlem Globetrotters, I think, of all time. Welcome, everybody. It is Cordishi and Coit on WEEI. My name is Scott Cordishi, now back from Florida, but doing the show from my basement in my home here in East Providence, Rhode Island. Nick Coyne back in our Warwick studio, along with producer Joe Passarelli. Good morning, guys.
What's up, Scott?
How are you?
What's going on?
I'm self-quarantining according to the intercom rules of play here with the coronavirus.
I was going to say, when did you get back from Florida?
So here's the deal. We were scheduled to come back yesterday, Nick.
Yep.
And when we saw the governor's press conference on Monday that starting Tuesday, those who travel back into the state of Rhode Island via the airlines have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. We booked a flight home Monday night. We cut our vacation short, so we didn't have to do the old self-quarantine thing. But Intercom has its own rules where if you have traveled, you are not allowed in studio for a two-week period. So I'll be doing the show for my house this week and next week.
All right. Well, I don't have to smell your scent in the studio, so that's good.
Social distancing,
social, physical, social distancing.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we all have to take it seriously. So it's, you know, it is what it is. They're starting to phase people out of our station and trying to get people remote. I'm supposed to try to do my sports cast from home next week. We've been trying to transition everything out, and it's a lot involved, obviously. But everybody's making the efforts here. They are because, you know, obviously everybody wants to try to, you know, slow this thing down and flatten the curve as much as possible here. So,
yep, it's strange times we're living in, that's for sure. I mean, I don't know that we'll. I hope that we never have to go through something like this again in our lifetimes. But
me too.
You know, my dad's 80 years old, and he's never been through anything like this.
Crazy.
He was a young boy when World War II broke out, so he really probably doesn't remember that. But he was around for the Korean War and the Vietnam War and, you know, all the other crises that we've had. And I don't know that we've ever lived through anything like this. It's bizarre. It really is.
To suddenly, Scott, have our freedoms, I don't want to say threatened, but just sort of we've had to put them on hold. We've never really had to do something like this. You know, like you talked about wars and those are more like freedoms getting threatened, but even then, you know, they're happening in different places and whatnot. And I've never felt so like you can't be free or we can't enjoy those freedoms. You
We're
know,
all grounded, gentlemen.
What's ahead?
We're all grounded.
Yeah, honestly, it's crazy. And it feels like, too, it's only been since the NBA canceled or postponed the season or called things. It's only been like 2.5 weeks, and it feels like 2.5 months at least. Like does not feel, I mean, this is a slow crawl here. And that's the tough part is that we all just sort of have to be patient and wait this thing out.
Well, I don't think people are used to spending so much time at home. I mean, it's nice 'cause you get to get reacquainted with your family a little bit, but you realize what a healthy distraction work is, right? I mean, you know, we all say, oh, I'm burnt out. I can't wait for vacation, which is true. But at the same time, I think this makes us appreciate what we do for work and how much it is a healthy distraction and how much it fills our day and our life with a sense of purpose and something to do. And when you're spending all this time at home every day, you go stir crazy a little bit. Oh, I've got to get out. I've got to do something. And so it really does make you appreciate maybe some of the things in life that we didn't necessarily appreciate as much as we should.
Absolutely. And being able to get outdoors, too, I think is a nice thing. It's not like you're totally stuck. You're not totally trapped. You know, it's something I looked at the weather today and I said, I got to get out at some point, go for a walk, go for a bike ride, something like that, you know. And so hopefully we can enjoy those sorts of things here this weekend and just continue to slowly crawl toward, you know, better days ahead here.
Well, enjoy it today because it's going to pour out tomorrow, from what I understand.
That's what I heard, too. I've got a marathon of something going on TV. What yet? I don't know, but I'm gonna find something. I did watch last Sunday. I'll say this. I stayed in for about 7 hours because ESPN played all of the Patriots Super Bowl. It was a Brady marathon. I don't know if you got to see it.
Patriots porn, baby.
Holy cow.
That's what it was.
I was just stuck on the couch.
I only watched Super Bowl 36. I was still down in Florida at the time with my parents, so me, my dad, and my son Jack sat down and watched Super Bowl 36 because to me, I told my son, I said, that to me was the most special sports moment in my lifetime. I was there at the Superdome for that win, and the Patriots were huge underdogs. They were 14-point dogs. Nobody gave them a chance to beat the greatest show on turf. So I love that moment. I'll always cherish and always remember for the rest of my life more than any other Boston championship. And I think being there had a lot to do with it. I was sitting next to the late Will McDonough from the Boston Globe. And he even said to me as we were walking down the tunnel to the locker rooms after the game, he said, Scotty, I've covered a lot of New England sports championships in my lifetime, Celtics championships, Bruins Stanley Cups. He said, I haven't had a Red Sox World Championship yet. He said, but I'll tell you right now, he said, this is the greatest championship that I've ever been a part of. And so, that was enough for me, too. And I was like, wow. I mean, if Will McDonough is saying that, this guy's been around the block. He's seen it all. So it was pretty cool. So I watched that, but, you know, when you're down in the Florida weather, 85 degrees and sunshine, and there's a pool in the backyard, it's kind of hard to stay in and watch TV all day, especially repeats. You know what I mean?
If it was first-run
sports, a different story, but I couldn't stay in and watch the games that I've already witnessed.
I get it.
At that point.
Yep. No, I get it. If I was in the Florida sun, I'd be doing the same thing. But, I think we all have those – you know, stories and the ways that we relate with those Super Bowls. And, you know, obviously I experienced those as a kid at home, you know, as a Patriots fan. And then, you know, here we are years later in the second coming of the dynasty. I was at, you know, all those three Super Bowl victories. So you know, it's different. It's fun to watch the old ones. And it's just crazy that the older ones and then the newer ones, all the same coach and quarterback. That's the nuts part of that. It was 20 years of dominance. It's crazy.
Yeah, and speaking of the coach and quarterback, you know, some unsettled times here in New England, and I want to get into some other stuff later on in the show, but maybe we'll use this as a jumping off point here.
Okay.
And you know, are the Patriots in the middle of a rebuilding process here? I mean, is this a rebuild? You know, because I was under the impression that as long as Bill Belichick was in charge, that this you know, franchise would be competitive at a very high level, competing for division titles, the playoffs, and even world championships, with or without Tom Brady. And when you look at what they've lost in free agency, you wonder if this team is going to be equipped to compete for another division title, the postseason, and a world championship. I don't know. I mean, I hope that they are. I have that much faith in Bill Belichick that they will find a way to be able to do just that. But I'd be lying if I sat here this morning and told you I didn't have my doubts.
Absolutely.
I do.
Yeah.
I do have my doubts.
Well, I think it is a rebound. I think there needs to be a distinction here because a lot of people are saying, you know, the Pats they're going to tank. They're going to tank for their next great quarterback, that sort of thing. The Patriots are not tanking. That's not happening here. Are they rebuilding into the next era of Patriots football? Yes, I think they are. And I think there's a clear distinction between those. You know, people that are saying, they're just going to lose as many games as possible. That's just not Bill Belichick. It's not going to happen. They're still going to try to be competitive. And I think they still have a lot of players on the team that are going to allow them to try to be competitive. And they'll only go so far as, you know, how they do at the quarterback position, I think, next year. And whether that is Jarrett Stidham, which it really sounds like they're going to give him every opportunity to try to win the job and be the starter next year and maybe the future quarterback.
Yeah.
I think they'll go as far as maybe his development. And then they still have a lot of veteran guys. It seems like, you know, I think it's maybe exposed more, or the fact that they lose Brady and then they lose all those guys in free agency, I think maybe heightens the awareness of, like, look at all the guys they lost in free agency. But if you look at some of the names and some of the off seasons they've had before this, they've lost a lot of guys then too. You know, like 2 years ago, they lose Trent Brown, their left tackle. They lose Trey Flowers, their defensive end. They lose a couple of wide receivers. They lost a lot of guys. And so does it seem like more maybe with Brady leaving? I think maybe a little bit. And maybe the fact that the defense was so good at points last year that losing a Kyle Van Noy or a Jamie Collins, you know, to big money contracts, maybe it just sort of makes it seem worse. But they were able to, you know, they lost a couple of guys in free agency, and they pick up a guy like Jamie Collins off the scrap heap pretty much. And at the beginning of this past season, he was one of the most dominant players they had. So I believe in Bill Belichick's ability to go out there, identify players that can come in, and, you know, he can sort of turn water into wine like he did with Kyle Van Noy, who's now a rich man in Miami.
Yep.
And I believe in his ability to coach, you know, players up and find those hidden gems. I think that's his biggest strength. And so, you know, if he finds a couple guys like that next season, couple that with the veterans that you have coming back with the McCourties, with Slater, you know, even on offense with Edelman and James White and guys like that, you know, I still think they're going to be competitive. They're rebuilding, but rebuilding, I think, for the New England Patriots under Bill Belichick is, you know, trying to put together that next great Super Bowl winning team. Because if you have this roster going in the field right now, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but I still think they're competitive.
Okay. Do you think they're competitive for the AFC East title?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe that's a knock on the competition. If you asked me today who I would pick to win the division, I would pick the Buffalo Bills. I think they have a really good. I think they have a really good defense. I think they'll go as far as Josh Allen takes them. And believe me, I still have my doubts. But you have a really good defense. Couple that with the fact that you just added a guy like Stephon Diggs, who I think is going to help that offense big time. I think I would pick the Bills, but it's close.
Picking the Bills, then you are calling this a rebuilding year for the Patriots.
Yeah, I think so. It's because they lost the quarterback. If they still had Brady, I'm not picking the Bills. Are you kidding? But I don't know what the quarterback position holds right now. You know, I do believe in Bill Belichick's ability, though, to, you know, coach up a team, and he's going to be able to prove that again this year. Especially this year without Brady.
All right, let's throw open the phone lines for people to join us this morning. 401-737-1287 is our phone number.
Our phone lines are open.
That's 401-737-1287. The text line is open this morning as well. You can reach us at 37937. You know, Nick, I hate to do this every week, but I've got another bone to pick with Tom Brady. And you probably saw my post on Facebook.
Yeah, I did.
I saw that article come out on ESPN.com that Brady's agent is trying to trademark TB times TB. And it turned me off. It rubbed me the wrong way. It's just the latest of Tom Brady-related things that have rubbed me the wrong way. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers used that TB times TB to celebrate his arrival in Tampa Bay, and immediately, and I'm not saying Tom Brady called his agent and said this, but his agents at least said, ooh, we need to trademark that. And, it's just one of the many reasons why I have become a little bit disenchanted with Brady in recent years. And I'm going to tell you why. Look, and I know this is going to upset all the Tom Brady suck-ups and lovers out there, okay? because I feel Tom Brady's personal brand, TB12, has become more important to him in recent years than the team. That's my opinion. I really, his actions to me have proven that. You know, early in his career, Tom Brady was the first one in the office at Gillette Stadium and the last one out to turn off the lights. He would watch more film to try to make himself a better player. He was attending OTAs. He had patience and worked with his young wide receivers. And we haven't seen any of that in recent years. Instead, he skips OTAs now to be with his family. Hard to knock a guy for wanting to be with his family, but the fact of the matter is, he is not as dedicated to his craft as he once was, at least from that respect, not attending OTAs. We saw this season multiple times him get openly frustrated with guys like N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers for not being where they should have on a certain particular play. I don't know that he necessarily did that as much earlier in his career. His personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, was a guy that, as we read when it was going on a few years ago, was openly going against what Patriot team trainers were preaching. Brady threw his offensive teammates under the bus to those close to him, saying that the talent around him this past year stunk, that, you know, he needed better talent around him here in New England if he was going to stay here. Okay, that to me is not being a great team guy. Okay, throwing your teammates under the bus. Oh, this talent isn't good enough for me. You know, all of these things to me have turned me off on Tom Brady. They really have. And this was just the latest, this article on ESPN.com that his agent's trying to trademark TB times TB. I mean, really, Tom, you and your wife don't have enough money. You need to go and trademark that. I mean, please. Again, it's another indication to me that it's more about the personal brand than it is about being the great team guy that you once were in this league, the guy that we all loved. And I'm sorry, I'm going to state it for the record again here now. I'm not rooting for him in Tampa Bay. I'm not. I hope the Buccaneers go 2-14 this year. I could care less if he throws 30 interceptions like Jameis Winston did last year. I could not care less. I don't want Tom Brady and the Bucs to do well this year. I don't. I want the Patriots to do well, not Tampa Bay, not Tom Brady. Look, when he comes back after he's retired and they celebrate him in New England and they induct him into the Patriots Hall of Fame, will I cheer him for his accomplishments here in New England? You bet you. Absolutely. I'll always be grateful for and appreciative of what he did as a member of the Patriots. But late in his career, he's really started to turn me off to the point where now I can root for the guy in Tampa Bay, and I won't root for the guy in Tampa Bay. Sorry, that's just how I feel, being honest here.
Well, so I'm not as frustrated with the trademarking as you are. but I do think it plays to something that has led to Tom, you know, leaving town. And that is when Tom Brady first, you know, came into the spotlight and just being reminded of who Brady was, you know, when he first got the quarterback job and stepped in for Drew Bledsoe. You know, he was the guy that, you know, first in the building, turned on the lights, last one out, turned off the lights sort of thing. And he was that, you know, he was that leader and he was that example. And I still think he was, you know, some of that when he was here. But, you know, as years have gone on, you know, his stardom, his celebrity, I guess you could say, grew. And then he marries a supermodel. And so, you know, his life changes. You know, who he is changes. And the Tom Brady of 20 years ago is not the Tom Brady now. It's a completely different person. And he's got a new business. And, you know, he's got the book with, you know, TB12 method. And, you know, you can't get sunburns if you drink enough water and that sort of thing. And so, you know, those sorts of things have bugged me a little bit. But I was always willing to put it to the side because, you know, he still was getting it done on the football field and still putting in some work. You know, the last couple of years, you know, the OTAs thing, that bothered me, especially this past season. You know, 2 years ago, he skipped the OTAs. Okay, he still had Gronkowski and Edelman and guys that he'd worked with for a long time. And so skipping OTAs didn't make much of a difference because they ended up winning a Super Bowl. I was critical of him, and I've been critical of him on the show for skipping OTAs the past year because of how openly critical, like you said, Scott, he was of his young receivers. And it's like, well, you know what? Tom, if you had gone to OTAs and you had gone to this extra work in the offseason and worked with these young guys, you probably would be more on the same page than you are now with these young receivers. And, hey, listen, everybody gets, you know, wanting to be with their family and wanting to spend time with their family, but I thought that was always just a bad excuse for skipping out on these offseason workouts because, you know, even the first year he was skipping out on OTA, Scott, he wasn't with his family. He was in Monaco selling Aston Martin stuff.
Right.
Like, it was
right.
Like, that's a load of crap. And it's the offseason, Scott. You drop
right.
The kids off at school, you go into Foxborough for a couple hours, you work with your young receivers, and then you pick the kids up from school, and you go home. Like, is that a hard concept during the offseason? I don't think so. And so I can't blame him for wanting to be with family, but I've been critical of him with the offseason workouts because, you know, of those reasons. In terms of the trademarking thing, Scott, don't forget, too, this is the same guy that rubbed people the wrong way, what, last year when the whole trademarking Tom Terrific thing came out. And Mets fans were in a tizzy because they were like, no, Tom Terrific is Tom Seaver. That's not Tom Brady. He can't trademark that. So it's not the first time it's happened. Maybe that's why it doesn't, I don't know, hit me as hard, surprise me. And hey, you know, you want TB, you know, times TB, like Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Like, I get that. That's fun. I think the optics and the timing of it are probably not good. You know, Tom Brady should be more like Drew Brees at this point and helping people that really need it right now. You know, Drew Brees giving $5 million to the state of Louisiana, you know, to help these efforts against COVID-19. Like, the optics and the timing of it, probably not a good thing. And so that's where my criticism would lie. I'm not as critical, but it plays to a bigger thing with Brady, which is he's not the same guy he was 20 years ago, and he's selling his products and those sorts of things. His celebrity is big, you know, as it is. I'm going to be rooting for Brady. I want to see him do well because I think it'll be fun if he's doing well in Tampa because of that division, and I want him to be competitive in the NFC and go up against the best. I just think it's a good story if he does, so that's why I'm rooting for
them. You're such a sheep, just following the herd.
No,
I mean,
I'm not.
Give me a break.
No, I'm not.
I'm rooting for Tommy to do well in Tampa.
The Pats
You're not a Patriots fan.
Some annoying things, too, over the years.
Whoa. Wait, what did you
What's
just
that?
Say?
Blitz for six. That was an immediate trademark.
Who's that?
Oh, the
Patriots.
Yeah, well, those were what they were. Or one more, or those sorts of things. Like, yeah, no, I get it. Those can be a little annoying, but no, I'm rooting for the story. Scott is what I'm rooting for.
And look, I'm being consistent here because over the years too, and even in early in Brady's career, but more so late, whenever there was a game when I thought his sideline demeanor was not right, I would call him out on it.
Yep.
Because as I said many times, he was the guy that people looked to on that Patriots team for leadership on the field. And when things weren't going well with the Patriots and he was on the sideline sulking, shoulders down, head down, I hated that because he needed to be the guy to pick people up like he did for most of his career. You know, come on, guys, let's go. We're still in this, you know, even down 28-3 to the Falcons. And by the way, today is 3/28 for all you Patriot fans out there. But the fact is, you know, like his attitude this year after when they went 8-0, right? Was it the Eagles they beat? Who was it that they beat and he was all pissed off
Eagles.
After the win?
Oh, yeah, it was the
Eagles.
Eagles, yep.
Okay? You know, just his demeanor at times I felt like, particularly later in his career, wasn't great, either on the field or after the game. And, you know, even when he is upset, and look, he's a professional athlete. You have every right to be upset when things aren't going well, right? But as a leader of the team, sometimes you have to internalize that and put on a happy face because you are the guy that your teammates rally around. And so I'd never liked that part of him either. We didn't see it a lot, but when we saw it, I did call him out for it. But like I said, I'm sorry. I'm a Patriots fan. I am not a Tom Brady fan. So I am rooting for the New England Patriots to do great in 2020 if we have an NFL season. I am not rooting for Tom Brady to do well in Tampa. I'm not. I'm sorry. And I would say the same thing if Bill Belichick left to go coach, you know, the New York Giants or what have you. I'm not rooting for Belichick to do well down there. No, thank you. I'm rooting for whoever the head coach of the Patriots is. That's just the way it is. I root for the laundry, as Jerry Seinfeld would say. Period. End right. of story.
Well, I'm rooting. Like I said, I think it's just a way better story if Brady's doing well in Tampa and he's having some sort of success. Because, again, look at the division that he's in. And look at, you know, the Saints have added Emmanuel Sanders, and they're as, you know, as good as they have been. And the Falcons go out, and, you know, I know Todd Gurley's been hurt, but they had a guy like Todd Gurley on their offense, and they got a bunch of first-round picks and whatnot, and the Panthers add Teddy Bridgewater, and there's a lot of things in that division where you're like, man, you know, if the Buccaneers are competitive, it's going to be fun to watch. It really is. A Saints-Bucks game, I want to turn that on.
Sure.
And I also want to see Belichick be competitive here, and I want to see Brady be competitive here, because I want to see, you know, who does well one without the other. I think it's, you know, we had a texter text in last week, and he just, you know, texted in today. He said, after you guys railed on me last week for saying it was stupid to try to compare Brady and Belichick post-separation, I heard many other pundits agree with my take. Brady being 43, not a good representation of how Brady would do without Belichick. Brady 10 years ago, yes, it would make sense. Yeah, of course, if they're both in their primes, it's an even sort of thing, and it's a bigger window, but this is their opportunity to separate and try to do things. And if Brady still wants to be, you know, a quarterback that leads a team, you know, to a Super Bowl or to success, I want to see what happens here. So, you know, of course, it's not Brady at 32, 33. We get that. And if he declines, he declines. Like, if that's what happens, then that's what happens. But I still think it's interesting after 20 years, the two of them are apart. And so I want to see who does better at this point right now, because Brady is still, he was, you know, say what you want about last season for him and some of the things that maybe weren't working well for him. He still was a good quarterback in this league. And so I want to see how he does. If he's still at that high level, then, you know, let's see how they do as separation. By the way, texter also from the same number texted, who cares about what Brady is doing now? No longer part of the Pats. Who cares? Okay, texter, what do you want us to talk about? There's not much.
Well, let me read a couple of more from the 401. Sure. Scott, this is a ridiculous assertion. You sound like the guy that keeps talking about his ex-girlfriend and the guy she's with now. Brady's gone. Time to move on. You're right. I do sound like that. I freely admit. You're absolutely right. And I'm upset at Tom Brady. So that's partly why I'm saying what I'm saying,
Scotty,
and why I feel
dumped.
The way that I feel.
Scott, get
that,
dumped. Oh,
but you know
man.
What? But here's another text that I think partially explains why maybe Brady changed.
Okay.
From the 508, blame Giselle as to why he changed. I do think that his life changed when he met her and started hanging out with her, became engaged to and married her. He lived a different life. You know, he was married to football before Giselle. But he, you know, I think he did change his lifestyle and his priorities change. And again, it's hard to wrap a guy when his priorities are his family, right? I'm not saying that. But the fact of the matter is, I do think that, you know, him living that lavish lifestyle and, you know, being in a tux and being at all these big events in New York City and stuff with his supermodel wife, I think that changed him a little bit. He wasn't just this young, unassuming, you know, sixth round draft pick from San Mateo, California that had a chip on his shoulder and something to prove. It was the total opposite. Now I'm a superstar living the high life, and I don't know. It was different from the guy that we all embraced and wrapped our arms around early in his career as a Patriot.
He's not the guy that can be at practice now and Belichick can yell at him and saying, you're not as good as the quarterback at Foxborough High School. He used to be able to take that and use it as a motivator. Now it's, I got to get away from this guy, you know, and that's just sort of the mentality change, I guess.
You saw what Terry Bradshaw had to say. Did you see what he – you know what? We'll save that for the other side. I'll share that with our listeners when we come back. Let's take a break right now, 401-737-1287, the phone number. We'll come back with your phone calls on the other side. You're listening to Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Trending now. Now, the WEEI Trending Now.
And here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. URI guard Fats Russell entering his name into the 2020 NBA draft. Russell will not hire an agent, however, leaving open the possibility of his return to the Rams. He must withdraw his name from draft consideration by May 31st if he wants to return to URI. Major League Baseball and its players' union agreeing on the parameters of a deal, outlining the conditions for the season to begin. According to reports, here's some of the details. Number one, they will not return until the ban on mass gatherings is lifted, meaning they want to have fans in the seats. Number two, they'll wait until there are no travel restrictions in either the U.S. or Canada. And number three, they want to have medical experts determine that there would be no risk to the players, staff, or fans. The league will also advance players about $170 million over the next 2 months, which will be divvied up among four different classes of players. Now to football, where NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell announcing that the 2020 NFL Draft will take place as scheduled, April 23rd through the 25th. He said the draft could serve as a very positive purpose for clubs, fans, and the country at large. He also threatened disciplinary action to anyone discussing draft-related issues who disagrees with the decision. And finally, former Rhode Islander and ESPN NBA analyst Doris Burke confirming she did test positive for COVID-19, but she's no longer symptomatic and feeling fine. I'm Scott Cordici. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
It's back. Play eight 18-hole championship courses right here in southern New England for just $110. That's right. Play the region's best courses with the 2020 WEEI VIP Golf Card. Crystal Lake.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.